Total new sugya.
Ah, nothing better than starting something brand new. Talk to Gemara at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. As we know, the Mishnah told us that there is an impediment, there is a problem, there is a psul of a sukkah being too high over 20 amos. Hoysa gvoh me'esr mamu uvol lemato bekar muksasis. If a person wants to minimize the height with putting pillows at the bottom and blankets at the bottom, Zokta Gemara, it doesn't work. Loy havemid. It's a din that's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. There is a shiloh that the Bir Halacha discusses, which is Halacha Lamaisa. What if it's not pillows and blankets? What if it's rugs? Can rugs be memayit? If you put a certain thickness at the bottom, so Nathan says no. I'm telling you to look at the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha wasn't so sure.
No, I'm saying what's why?
Obviously, I'm trying to get you to think what the difference is. Look at the Bir Halacha. Maybe there's a difference. Maybe it's a floor. Maybe it's something that's going to stay there. Maybe it's something that's not going to be used at night to sleep on. It's a rug. It's not always moved around. Here, can I get a head shake this way? Can I get?
But it doesn't.
So maybe it's totally on the tamim. The Ran says the reason why this is a problem is because the person is mishtamish tadir with it. He's always going to use his pillow. Such a svara might not exist when it comes to rugs. People leave rugs out there. People don't have a problem with rugs. But if you hold that, no, I'm worried that the rug is going to be ruined. I don't want to leave it there forever. So the Mishnah Berurah of the Bir Halacha is not 100% sure. That's what the discussion is.
These pillows and blankets which we're talking about are not spare ones. They're like the main ones in the house. Right?
I'm getting to there. Excellent. Hoysa gavoa me'esr mama uvolamata b'karmik sasas law of amit. V'afal gavdebot linu. Ask Naftali, what do you mean? What if there's spare pillows? And Naftali has extra pillows in his house. And he says what? I am mevato this, and I have no problem leaving this in the sukkah. Because you know what? I own a pillow factory. And therefore, I don't have a problem with the pillows staying there forever. Zokta Gemara, why? He's mevatalin. Why can that be part of the structure of the sukkah to be memayit? Zokta Gemara, a klal that's nogeya all over Shas or Baisai, the butla daita itzakolod. Halacha is normal. Halacha is nikba. Halacha is established based on what the standard and the normal approach to life is, and therefore butla daita itzakolod. Most people are not mevatel their pillows to structures. Rugs? I don't know. That's what the Bir Halacha has to discuss. And the Bir Halacha gets into the different tamim of the Ran and the Meiri. What is the reason bito will work? Ayin sham in simin tof resh lamed gimel legabi the rugs at the bottom of the sukkah. But I don't want to talk about the rugs. So now the Gemara says, what about other entities that you put in the bottom of the sukkah? But I have a question before I even go weiter in the Gemara. And the question is raised by the Meir. If we remember the beginning of the Masechta, there were different reasons that were brought for why a sukkah that's malami 20 amis is possible. One of the reasons was the reason of Rava. Globerman, what was the reason of Rava? It's Diras Keva. If you have a structure that's so high, you have a structure that's so loud, that your structure is not that so loud, outside is so loud, but you have a structure that is so enormous, that automatically screams out that it's Keva, that it's not a Diras Arai. Good? So what are you doing over here, asked the Meiri? You're filling it up with some fillings. I don't even care, whatever the fillings are. It's going to be hay, it's going to be dirt, it's going to be pillows, it's going to be cement, whatever it is. Lamaisa, not cement, but you're putting in some sort of filling into the sun. Says the Meiri, how does that help you? What's the Meiri's problem, Rabbi Yisai? The walls are still a Diras Keva. It didn't help anything. Rabbi Yisai, has anyone ever heard of such a kasha?
Many times.
Many times. From who? From the right. So what did the Raivin do to answer this question? You sneak?
Anika.
things that are in there. No?
The Ravid asked, when we learned Daf Beis, we learned the Ravid asked, all the Gemaras that we're about to learn seem to contradict Rava, this very question. Because even if you fill in the Sukkah, or even if you have what the Gemara is going to talk about, that you have an Itzdabar, you have something at a bench that to eat on top of, so the height is now less than 20 Amis, but Lamaisa what? The walls are still higher than 20. Zok the Ravid a chiddush nifla ad lamaoyin on daf dalet amud aleph. What did the Ravid say on the bottom of the riff?
It's not about the walls, but like the use of it.
Zok the heilig Ravid, the din of diras keva versus diras arai, which is totally on 20 amis, is a halacha in schach, not in mechitzis. And if the schach space is less than 20 amis, you create a scenario that the schach is being seichek for less than 20 amis. That is by definition a diras arai. Azaraivit. Rabbi Isai. Zok the heilig Meiri on our Masech, on our Gemara. And the Meiri asks, how do you get around Rav Shita from our Gemara when you fill up the sukkah, whether it's karmuk sasa, whether you put it in afar? Frek the Meiri, it's a raya against Rava. What's the Meiri's first answer, Rabbi Sai?
Like
this Gemara is going against Rava. Who's... I asked one of the Gedolim in this yeshiva when we learned that Ravid was there. Anyone? Shalom. Open it. Open it, open it, open it. Can I help you? Okay. No. Zok the Gemara, Zok the Ravid. As I asked one of the, I wanted to know, was there anyone that disagrees with the Ravid's approach on that base, that the definition of Diras Arai versus Diras Akeva has only thing to do with what the Schach is being Seichich on top of? Rabbi Isai, who's Chaylik on that Ravid? We found the Meiri. Meiri's Chaylik on that Ravid. Because the Meiri is forced and backed up into the wall and says this Gemara cannot shtim with the Ravid. And he quotes many Rishonim that said like that pshat. Psst. That means that what? Diras Arai, Diras Keva has to do with what? The walls. How high the walls are. Not only worrying about what's going on in the internal sukkah. But then the Meiri has a secondary, Rabbi Isai. What's the Meiri's secondary day, Jeremy? Now what? That works even according to Rava. How can it work according to Rava? Ah, your mechitzas are too high, Rabbi Isai. Your mechitzas are 25 amis. Bad. What is this, a joke? Someone pulled a joke on us? Put all the caps off.
Come on.
Dead?
Dead. That's a laser.
Go into it.
Nice.
25. I fill it up in the bottom, everybody's side.
7.
Correct it. Result deriving, not a problem. Why? Because it's telling the schach. Dr. Meiri, it's Tali in the what? What's the second day in the Meiri, everybody say? Dr. Meiri, yeah, you put bulb stuff on the bottom. And now what? The floor became the karka. So therefore, where do you judge the sukkah? You judge the sukkah, the mechitzas, from here. Azap posha teretz.
Yeah, but that's...
Rabbi Isai, I would like to open up our sugya with the following question. How could anyone be chulik with him every second day? It's pushing. That's what I'm doing over here. I'm making floor. So therefore, whether you like it, it's a schach. Whether you like it, it's the walls. This is my sukkah.
Really bad.
This is my sukkah. Where the karka oilum starts. I don't want you to answer this. I don't want you to answer this question. I'm going to develop the whole sugya to answer this question. Yeah.
I have a question. I don't understand it. So basically, that second scenario of the Meiri about when it's filled up, the sukkah is only starting from where it's filled up, and then it's all the way up.
What's the Meiri's lashon? Karka Olam.
Okay, so
Nas is karka.
So is that basically essentially the saying, say if I have a sukkah in here, but my poles extend into the ground? That's it. Like my poles go 20 amos
that's
into
fine.
The ground. So it's
that's
basically
fine.
The same,
yeah.
It's the same
that's
idea.
That's what Miri's saying.
Okay, fine.
Isn't that pasha? Such a great term.
Why? But the mechitzas are longer than 20.
But
hours.
I don't care what, like you just said, I don't care the mechitzas that are below ground level.
How's anyone else supposed to know?
What?
How's anyone else supposed to know?
Who cares about everyone else?
Well, if you
so you think that this is just a hecker issue? You think this is just a perception that I should live my Jewish life for other people's opinions?
Everyone in the neighborhood.
What?
Everyone in the neighborhood.
They
think they can do the same thing.
So it's Maris Ayin.
Yeah.
So good. So now, Naftali. You guys are saying that what? That what? Midoraisa yoyotze. The rabbani you're not. Wrong. Psul doraisa. Psul doraisa. Weishler. What's that? I don't even want to talk about this. I always wanted to open it. This is just the opener.
But the pizzas aren't in the ground. They're just lower down. You put the floor higher up. So wouldn't the Meiri still hold that it's here's kept?
No. Meiri holds that we view the sukkah from the ground up. Just like Schultz's dimyan. That's qualitatively Schultz's dimyan is as if that it was just founded in the ground. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
How does this work with Rashi? Is it Rashi?
Oh. So Jeremy Globerman is asking the same kasha that Schultz asked in Sid. How does this work with Rashi? Now, we're not up to there yet. And in order for you to answer that question, you have to wait till we finish the sugya, and you get to the end of the Meiri, which is the last of the Maariv HaFemis, which deals with that question. He doesn't answer for Rashi, but you see he clearly disagrees with Rashi. But that's the last Makom HaPatish of the sugya. Excellent question. We will have to deal with that Rashi. I don't want to spoil. I can give you the answer right now, but I don't want to spoil it. Yeah.
So what was the first answer to the Meiri?
First answer to the Meiri is, you're right, it's not according to Rava. It's such a good kasha, I don't have a teretz. And that's what I have to reshine him. So we basically have three terutzim to this question. But Rabbi Isai, go back into your notes, go back into your lumdus, go back into your sukkah files, and remember, diras arai, diras keva, that which the Rabbi told us is all about the schach. Ayin mi'iri, daf gimel menalef, going on to daf dalet menalef, not everyone accepted that. And this is what's beautiful. Just the pasha diras arai, diras keva, gemara, on that base that we thought we discovered and we finished and we moved right there, you see changes through developing sugyas. And through sugyas that have to be based on the conclusion of what was, and that has to evolve based on future sugyas. Yeah.
So the second answer of Meiri is what the Ravid said?
It's not exactly what the Ravid said. It might be similar to the Ravid, but I don't think necessarily he's saying that it's always schach based. He's just saying there's no sukkah. We don't view the sukkah over there. It might be more similar to the Ravid, though, in the Ravid's camp. It's for sure not like the first day. I don't know if the second day of Meiri has to be like the Ravid. Meiri's just saying, no, I changed the floor over here.
It just sounds very similar to where how they calculate.
No, it could be that the Meiri's saying, I cut off the walls. It's like Schultz is saying, it's underground. So therefore, maybe it is a din in the Mechitzas. Maybe Mechitzas is the Allah of Diras Arai Diras Keva, but when you have a Karka, so the Mechitzas only start there. Make sure you tell Morty this is so to the Machlekes Meiri and the Ravid. Rabbi Isai, the Gemara goes on with some details that are very important. So what if I don't go the Mahalach of Karim Uksosis, and I decide to go the Mahalach of what? Of using your more things that are applicable to be Mevatel Nesur. Like what? Teven Ubitlu Havimiyat. If you have straw, and you are Mevatel it there, then what? Havin miyad. Then that does minimize the shear of the sukkah. Then that does take away from the 20 amos or less. The kol shekein afru bit. And avade, it's a kal v'chomer to what? To offer ubin. To dirt and being mevatel. Teven, new category. You have straw, ve'ein osa lifnoso. You have straw and, again, not that you're being mevatel it, but it's a new category called what? Eino osid lifnoso. I know something about this tevin that it's going to stick around. The offer stam and dirt that was just dumped in my sukkah, but I didn't say anything about it or I didn't present anything about it. or it's not clear anything about it, so then you have a machlokes tanoim. What happens if you have situations where the floor changed, the height was minimized, and therefore I have a situation where the dimensions are kosher for the sukkah, but what? I wasn't necessarily clarifying anything within the process. I didn't say anything, I didn't reveal anything, and it just happened on its own and it stopped. Off for stam. What's the halacha? Does it minimize? Does it not minimize? Rabbi says the Gemara, this is not only relevant to Hilchos Sukkah, this is relevant to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Says the Gemara as follows. Machloikas Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan, what's the Machloikas Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan? This nan. Bayis Shemilu Tevin Otsurus. Ubitlo Mavutlo. Bitlo in Loi Bitlulo. The Tani Allah Rabbi Yosef Yomer Tevin Ve'ena Hasilif Noiso. Areuka offer Stam Ubatl. Offer Ve'osid with Noiso. Areuka Stam Tevin Ve'lobat. Presents the Machloikas, the Gemara Machloikas Tanoim between Rabbi Yosef and the Rabbon. Let's just try to make things as simple as possible, Rabbi Yisai. We don't want to make too many categories because then it gets a little bit confusing to hold cheshbon. So let's just talk about one category. Offer stam. Let's talk about offer stam. We could talk about Tevin also, but let's talk about offer stam for now. Okay? There's dirt that now falls into a window. Now, that's going to be a major machlekes, Rabbi Yosi Rabbanon. What's the halacha with that window? I say, who cares if dirt's in a window? Why is any of this relevant? So Rabbi Yosi, this is what's very important, and a goal that's going to come out of this sugya, that there is a sugya within a sugya over here that is very relevant, halacha l'maisa, for Tumas Kohanim, and for situations of Tumas. We need to learn a little bit of a background about Tumah V'Tahara. So let's see. The halacha is that if there's a mace that's in an ohel, right? And this is all sealed up from anywhere else, and I'm a kohen over here. Okay? The mace is over here. Does that affect me?
No.
What happened to Tumas Oil?
It's not in oil.
That's right. An oil doesn't only cause problems. Everyone thinks Tumas Oil. An oil doesn't only cause problems. An oil also can create solutions. If you have the Tumah contained in an oil, the same way the oil absorbs the Tumah, it also makes sure everything that's in the oil is a problem, but everything that's outside of the oil is not a problem. Okay? So now, what is considered an ohel? What are the dimensions of an ohel, Rabbi Yisai? What do I need to make sure that there is in order to make sure that I'm considered to be an ohel? I want to know, Rabbi Yisai, I fly on planes. Okay? I fly on planes. I fly on planes from JFK. Okay? No, I don't want to talk about that right now. And there's a certain route that this plane has that flies over a Beis HaKvaros. Now, do I have to be concerned about the Tumah that now is emanating from that Beis HaKvaros or from those Mason?
Yes.
So everybody said, before we get to the Beis HaKvaros, we need to break down. What is crucial in order to be considered an OL to contain the Tumah on the level of Daraisa, Rabbi Yisai? What is crucial? It's one word, Rabbi Yisai. I'm looking for one word. If anyone's planning on saying anything more than a word, then put your hand down. Oil. What am I looking for? I think I heard it from someone over here. I heard someone say a certain measurement.
Hand breath.
Is that one word or two
words? No, it's one word.
I think it's one word. It's dash. One word.
Dash.
No, it's not dash.
On word count,
hand breath's one word.
You should write this?
Yeah.
How much money are you willing to put
on? That's what it said on the thing. So, if you might be wrong.
Your next phrase. Rabbi Yisai, a tefach. A poseach tefach.
Hand breath.
That's two words.
Yeah,
that's
words.
One word.
It's two words, right?
Yeah.
It's one word.
Hand
no,
breath.
No.
Hand,
oh,
breath.
Said two
words. Hand breath is one word.
Hand
breath.
What you just said, Rabbi, was two words.
Hefa! Mace is over here. And what? And there's a tefach over here. So then this makes this benoit.
That's a poseach tefach, where?
On top.
I guess.
So now that stays within the oil. It's poseach tefach. For a baisai, what happens if there's no tefach? What happens if on top of the mace there is
dirt?
Heaven.
Sruros.
All these things that what? Fill up, and there is no poseach tefach. There is no rabosai. This idea of tefach is not only nogeya to helchos tumah. This idea that an oval needs a covering of a tefach affects what areas, rabosai? Helchos what?
Shabbos.
That by definition, to create an oval on Shabbos, which is usser, is to be on something that it's covering over. A hand breath, whatever, 3.6 inches, however measurement you take, for 3 inches, whatever it is you take. So if it doesn't have that opening, Rabbi Yisai, so then what? Something happens to the tumah. The tumah is not contained. What's that called? No, what's that called, Rabbi Yisai? Tumah? Tumah? Ritzutza. The tumah elevates itself and shoots up ad l'rakia. Because there's no ohel that's absorbing and that's holding within itself the tum. Okay? So now, Rabbi Yisai, now you understand why there are kohanim that are concerned with flying over a Beis HaKvaros. Because in the Beis HaKvaros, what happens, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where there is no aron, there is no coffin, and dirt is on top of the mace's body.
Even with the wooden coffin, it goes away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So
even with the wooden coffin, that's an excellent point. Even with the wooden coffin, even in America, I was just saying simpler, it's simpler to understand Eretz Yisrael. Correct.
Yeah.
It would disintegrate eventually.
No, but it would disintegrate eventually.
Yeah. So therefore, you're ultimately going to have offer on top of it, and therefore it's going to be tumah ritzutza. So that's the issue, Rabbi Yisai, with flying over a Beis HaKvaros. Rabbi Yisai, I have a very simple question, which is not no gate to our sivya. Why don't you say, yeah, but I'm in an oil. I'm inside a plane. So my
metal.
Did everyone hear what Leiby just said? Leiby, please stand up. No, you don't have to.
Well, the real Leiby, please.
Leiby just answered a Gaonis de Keteres. Leiby said a Gemara in Erevin that what? Oil Zaruk Leishmei Oil. Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Whether or not a flying oil is considered an oil. Now, I'm not getting into what Leiby just said. What Leiby just said is a very, very complicated shaila. What is considered an oil Zaruk and what is not considered an oil Zaruk? Is an ol zorik something flying in the air that has no set dimensions? Or can we even apply ol zorik even to a plane? But Rabbi Yisai, for whatever reason, the plane is not separating and being a separate ol, and that is the issue.
What?
It's all fundamentally based on our sugya, that the afar and the tsruros now removes the ol from the mace and makes tumah ritzutza. So now, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon become very relevant in terms of halachos of what type of fillings of rooms, of areas, can now be considered now removing the Shema Oil and not be considered having an opening anymore. Because if it's temporary and it's not really considered kavu in that area, then halachically what? I might have an oil there, and that won't allow it to spread, and it won't cause problems to kahuna. Rabbi Yisai, also, what happens if you have a window from one room to the next, and the window is a tefach wide, and you're worried that the tumah is going to spread from one room to the other room, but I fill up the window with afar, But I never was mevatel and said that I'm going to be mevatel it there. Does that stop the tumah from spreading? Or does it, yes, stop the tumah, not stop the tumah from spreading? Comes along the Gemara and says, this is a machloikes, Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds when a person puts off for stam, even though you don't know how long he wants to leave it there, even though you don't know about the duration of time, what the plans are with this offer, if this is a temporary model, if this is a permanent model, offer stam havi bittel. And where or what? It's now going to seal up the window, but it's also going to cause you problems when you're talking about tumaratutza, when you're talking about flying over that area. Offer stam is going to be a problem. However, Rabbanon are of the opinion that what? That you need bittul. That you have to be mevatel it there. Just because something stam went over there does not mean that it becomes part of the structure, and therefore it's not necessarily going to help. Comes along the Gemara and borrows from the areas of Tumah Vatara, from the areas of filling up a window and filling up on top of a vase, the ramifications for Kohanim, for Tumah Vatara, and Kol HaTorah Kulo Sugya Achasi. Therefore, says the Gemara, if a person put Ofer Stam at the bottom of his sukkah instead of putting pillows and blankets, that's going to be a machlekes between who and who? Rabbi Yossi and Rabbon. Azoi is our sugya. That's the Pshuto Shel Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Good. Comes along Rashi. And Rashi says, what does this mean when it says that according to Rabbanon, if you're mevatel it, then it's good? Why do I care, Rabbi Yisai? Because that's going to have tremendous ramifications. Some of us don't care. Some of us are playing on our phones. Please remove that off your table. Rabbi Yisai, it's halacha lemaisa to know whether or not afar, if you're mevatel it, according to Rabbanon, is that going to be part of the bottom of your sukkah or not and going to minimize from the 20 amos. Right, Ethan? So what does it mean to be mevatel it? What is the definition of bittul? So Rashi tells us, Tevenu bitlo, Zokt Rashi, Bifiv Lishiva. Says Rashi, two very important words. Simple Rashi. He's mevatel it, means he expressed the fact with his lips that he wants it to be there and to be part of the structure. He does so legabe tumah, he does so legabe sukkah. And Rashi says he did it even for a temporary amount of time. That's also sufficient. 7 days when it comes to sukkah would be sufficient. Good. That's all Rashi says. Comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva thinks he has Gemaras in Baba Basra that Rashi would agree that Bittul, when it comes to Tuma, means La'olam, and therefore he thinks that Bittul also over here means La'olam, or as long, l'chora, as the structure of the sukkah will be standing. It can't be above our Baba Basra. It can't be that you're mevatel it for a temporary amount of time. And says the Ritva, not only do I disagree with Rashi in terms of your suggestion about how long it should be batel with, Ethan, try to make it quick, how long it should be batel for, but what, Rabbi Yisai, says the Ritva, I also disagree that it's not necessary to express it. It's not necessary for you to be mevatel b'feh. If it's goli v'yodua, if everyone knows that this is going to be a situation where the item is going to be there la'olam, so therefore that should be sufficient. That should be sufficient for what? For bittul. And there's no need to enunciate it. There's no need to state it. The Ritva beefs up his argument, and the Ritva says, ah, you'll tell me there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that the Lamdanim like to quote, Dvarim Shebelev Enam Dvarim. Says the Ritva, that's a very limited sugya to be situations where you're, where it's specific to Nidarim, to Hekdeshos.
Food.
To what?
Food.
Food.
Chametz.
Chametz, is that what the Ritva says? I don't remember.
Rashi says that.
What do you mean Rashi says that? The Ritva is asking on Rashi.
No, but he says Bitulay by
on Dafdalin. On Dafdalin.
Yeah.
So that would be, but the Ritva is saying Dvarim Shabbat, he's listing cases of Dvarim Shabbat. You're giving a support to the Ritva.
Yeah.
Right. So he's saying, even the Gemara of Dvarim Shabbat, Enam Dvarim, that was limited cases, and that doesn't apply over here. Here, as long as it's clear to everyone that I'm being Mevatel, even though I didn't enunciate it, that would be fine. But Rabbi Yisai, I want to highlight something that I'm going to get back to at the end of the sugya. And this was pointed out, and I'm going to show you, from Rav Moshe Brown, a major Tabachal. Anyone know who Rav Moshe Brown is, Rabbi Yisai? From Far Rockaway?
Yeah.
How do you know?
My brother went to Wyatt Bar.
Oh. So Rav Moshe Brown is, one, in my opinion, one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in America. And he stays out of the radar. He sits and learns. But people in Far Rockaway know how big he is. People from Eretz Yisrael send him his farm, send him his stuff, in order for him to give them haskamas. Moshe Brown is holding in Kachim, holding in Kol HaTorah Kula. So Mir Tashem tomorrow, everybody say, I have Max, who made is going to make copies of his Sefer. I used to daven before I moved to Fairlawn. I used to daven by Rav Moshe Brown. I used to discuss to speak and learning a lot to Rav Moshe Brown. This is Madonei Moshe. This is a lot of the shiurim that he gave, Yamim Tovim, in the shuls. Real geschmack when you go to a shul that talks in lumdis between Mincha and Marv. These are the svarim. So we're going to discuss one of his sugyas that he discussed on Sukkis, on one of the Yom Tovim. He did the sugya of Karmel Sukkis, our sugya. So Rav Moshe Brown makes the following ha'ara that is fascinating that I didn't chop until I saw it in his sefer, that he's 100% right. While the Ritva is arguing with Shitas Rashi, that it's not necessary to be mevatel b'peh. And by the way, bitl is not l'sha'ah. Bitl is not temporary. But bitl is what, says the Ritva, is la'olam. Says the Ritva, and if you're going to necessitate bitl b'peh, so then avada, you should need it to be la'olam. It sounds like in the Ritva that he would be accepting of Rashi's approach of necessitating bitl b'peh, were it that Rashi held like the Ritva Shita, that La'olam was necessary. But says the Ritva, since you're not being Mevata La'olam, therefore I have no idea why Bitul B'Feh is necessary. If it's going to be Galav Yadu, everyone's going to know he's going to leave it there for 7 days. That's not going to be a problem of Dvarim Shebelev Enam Dvarim. And the Ritva goes on to say that what? You need Bitul La'olam, and Bitul B'Feh is not necessary. Why was it that the Ritva was okay with Shitas Rashi that Bitul B'Feh would be necessary when, again, this is not the Ritva's opinion and the Ritva does not subscribe to necessitating Bitul B'Feh, but if you would have held that Bitul La'olam was the duration of time, then I could begin to understand you, Rashi, that Bitul B'Feh would be necessary. A fascinating diuk that he is learning within the kasha of the Ritva. Rabbi Yisai, you see how sensitive Rabbi Brown was to every line of the Rishayim. He was learning even the kasha. The Ritva is arguing with Rashi on both accounts. First of all, Bitul B'Feh is not necessary, and also your zman, your temporary amount, is wrong. But the Ritva says, and if you're going to need Bitul B'Feh, so at least need Bitul La'olam. Why is that? When you yourself don't agree with both of those things. So Mir Tashem will get back to that question as well. So Rabbi Yisai, we need to know who's right. Who's right? Can Bittul work on a temporary level, or can that Bittul will not work on a temporary level? So is there anyone that really gave us insight into this question, Rabbi Yisai? Whether Rashi or the Ritva is right on whether or not Bittul Lashah works? A temporary Bittul, does that work? Rabbi Yisai, this is an earth-shattering question. This doesn't only have ramifications for Hilchos Sukkah. This is going to have ramifications for what? Big Shailas La'alacha L'gabei Tumah V'Tahara. And Hilchos Sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this, Rabbi Yisai. Does Bitul L'Shah work? Do we pass like Rashi? Do we pass like the Ritva? So who gives us some insight on this question? The Rosh. The Rosh in our Masechta. The Rosh says that I am of the opinion that who is right, Gloverman?
Rosh.
Excellent. Kol biltol d'shmaitin simen beis perish Rashi l'zayin ayom. Rabbi Nochanano v'Rabbeinu Avi ha'ezri perish ad olam like the shita of the Ritva. V'nira k'perish Rashi debitol d'hoche kol zman mitzvah soka dumya demiyad d'koisa. I think that Rashi is right because I found the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Ayin Tesamen Aleph. What is the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Ayin Tesamen Aleph? The miyat the koisel v'chrit shebein beis chatzeres the perak haloyin. The lo boi bittel ela ba'oisei Shabbos. The kamar hasa the davar shenu nito b'Shabbos b'mayit. Avo davar anito einu b'mayit. Says the Rosh, I have a Gemara in Erevin. What's my Gemara in Erevin? Rabbi said, what's the Gemara in Erevin talking about? Starts on Daf Ayin Ches Mabiz at the bottom, talking to Ayin Tes. And Rabbi Sai, it's really gewaldi because the background that we discussed on Thursday between Erev Chatzeris and understanding what Erev Chatzeris is all about is actually going to help you understand this peculiar Gemara in Erevin, what is actually going on over there. So Globerman, help me out. What does the Mishnah there say in Erevin? Yeah, you got it, Nathan? What do you got? Sit up. Let's hear. Well, what's the problem with two chatzeres?
Because you can't carry.
Is there a wall around the two chatzeres, Rabbi Sai?
No. Yes.
There's got to be a wall around the two chatzeres. Because if there's no wall around the two chatzeres, Rabbi Sai, then I don't even have a what? I don't even have a rishis hayochi. I'm now dealing with what halach? I'm dealing with a gzera of Shlomo HaMelech, that even when I'm in one rishis hayochid, if there's two owners of two houses within one Erev, within rishis hayochid, the Erev is meaningless if you can't all eat from one box of matzahs. That's why I told you, Rabbi Isai, what do you tell the people that have fights in your communities?
They can use Erev.
Right. If you think that you can't invite each other to one area to eat meals, then your Erev is down. What do you mean? There was no storms. Nothing fell down. You have to understand what the concept of an Erev is. An Erev means we all get along. An Erev means we're on Taruvis. It's not a nice bart, Ben. It's real. It's halacha. Yeah, so now we're dealing with one Rishis Hayachid. We're dealing with one walled area. And what happens?
There's a ditch
that's in between the two. So now, before we talk about filling in that ditch, what is the halachic relevance of there being a ditch in those two, Rabbi Yisai? How tall is that ditch? 10 tefachim. If that ditch is 10 tefachim, Rabbi Yisai, al pidin, what does a ditch that's 10 tefachim mean? And we view it as if what?
That
there's a separation, there's a mechitza between these two things. Even though there's no mechitza that is mamish standing there like there is in your shuls between the men and the women, al pi alacha, a ditch that's 10 tefachim is going to be a mechitza that's going to separate between these two areas. If there's going to be a ditch that's separated between these two areas, so we can view it as what? As shtei chatzeres. They don't aser on each other. If they don't aser on each other, then what? Then if my child wants to bring things out from the yard into my house, wants to bring the toy that's sitting in the grass and bring it into my house, I have no problem with allowing him. Why? Because no one's prohibiting him from carrying from the yard into the house. But what happens? Once the what? Once the afar gets filled up into the ditch, then what just happened, Rabbi Isai? My mechitza just went out the window, right? And there's no more separating entity. There are two balabatim that are now sitting in this chotzer. And now what? They prohibit each other from carrying unless they get what? A box of matzahs. Unless they do an Erev. They're considered one entity now. Very good? That's the Mishnah. asked the Gemara in Erevin, is this really true? That offer fills up even if you don't express and mevatel it 1 second, and you weren't mevatel it, offer can work on its own. Ask the Gemara in Erevin Akasha from Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Don't we learn when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara that the Rabbanan what say what? That you have to be what? Be mevatel it! Bitloy in, loy bitloy. The fact that there's offer that just fell in stam, that doesn't now change the story. So what does the Gemara say? Rabbi Yisai Gemara gives a few terutzim. So first of all, the Gemara wanted to suggest, yeah, maybe the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that what, Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi's opinion, it's a nice safe. Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who said I can't be a goalie? Why, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is what? Offer stam, you don't need to be mevatel. Offer stam, you don't need to be mevatel. So then what? You just created one private area that now has two batim in one area without a mechitza, even without actually being mevatel. 1 second. Let me finish the Gemara. That's the first answer. Rav Huna Berader of Yeshua Amar, everybody say, those of you that didn't see this Gemara in Ervin, this is where you're going to be tomorrow. Rav Huna Berader of Yeshua Amar, Toma Shabbos Karamis. Hanach Isser Shabbos Dafilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Inish. What does that mean? What did that line in the Gemara mean? Don't ask for Shabbos and Tuma. Why? Because Shabbos, even a wallet, works for Bittel. What do you mean even a wallet works for Bittel? A wallet as opposed to what? As opposed to a bag of dust. As opposed to offer. Rabbi say, Shabbos, even a wallet that has precious checks and cash and credit cards and value works to be mevatel. Why? It's mukt. Is going to be. By Shabbos, every bittel works. Because of what? Because of mukta. But by Toma, that's where you need maybe a higher criteria. You need to actually be mevatel it. Then the Gemara quotes one last opinion, the opinion of Ravashi. Amar, Ravashi Amar, Gnauer, you gotta get the background of what I'm talking about. It's a bad time to leave. Ravashi Amar, Bayis Achritz Karamitz. Don't compare, not Shabbos Atoma. There's another way to disconnect these two sugyas. One's talking about filling up a house, and one's talking about filling up a what? A chritz, a ditch. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Achritz Limitma Koi. Alabayis Limitma Koi. What did that mean? Bishlam achritz limit mayikai. Bias limit mayikai. Says Ravashi, I'll tell you another distinction between these two Gemaras. Achritz, a ditch, is normal for it to be what? For it to be filled up. A house that's full of dirt, is that normal for you to fill dirt into a house? So therefore, that's why you need a higher standard of bittul when it comes to a house to actually be mevatel it, and therefore it's not going to fit the standards. Matcha inkin, when it comes to Shabbos and you're filling up a ditch, not because of a distinction of Shabbos versus not Shabbos, but for a ditch versus a house, a ditch, it's normal for it to get filled. So even offer stam, even without a bittul, is going to work to be mevatel. Dr. Rush, for 1 second. What's the premise of this whole sugya? What's everyone in agreement, says the Rush? What did the Gemara even say? Shiny Shabbos, da'afilu arnaki mevatali, says the Rush. That's what the Rush quotes, right? Says the Rush, isn't this a raya brura? Isn't this a clear proof that bittel does not need to be mevatel? Let me ask you something. Am I going to use that arnaki after Shabbos? You betcha I'm using that arnaki. That's how I'm going to the movies on Matzah Shabbos. And to pay for that ticket. I need that arnaki. I need that wallet. But on Shabbos, it works as a bit. Therefore, what, Rabbi Yisai? Why does the Rush find that significant?
Why does the Rosh find that significant for our sugya, Rabbi Isai? Because it's a riot to who? It's a riot to Rashi. It's a riot against the Ritva. A bomb riot. We have a Gemara Beferish that just cited like Rashi, and therefore the Rosh says, close case, I'm passing like Rashi. Bittul Olam is not correct.
Yeah, but that's different because of Shabbos, maybe it's a different type of bittul.
I don't know what that means. Weiter.
There's
like stuff. As I Rosh, Rabbi Isai. Any other Gemaras that discusses this, Rabbi Isai? Bava Basra. What does Gemara Bava Basra say?
There are certain things that can fill up a window, there are certain things that can't.
There are certain things that can fill up a window. Why do I want to fill up a window? Because of Tumas Meis, we don't want it to spread, right? Now, what does the Gemara give a fascinating case of something that works to be mevatel? Something that you would never think to be mevatel in the window, Rabbi Isai. What? A ben shmeina chadash. What is a ben shmeina chadash, Rabbi Isai? So I'm going to tell you something, Rabbi Isai, which is not to be paskin halacha l'maisa, but which is something that will help be helpful for you, for your future learning in other sugyas, that there was a time, and the times of Shas, that an 8-month-old baby, and what's fascinating is, the Teva totally changed, this didn't apply to a 7-month-old baby, and it didn't apply to to a baby born in the 9th month. A baby that was born in the 8th month, according to Chazal, was most probably going to die. Was an aphel. So the Gemara says that there are ramifications for that. There are ramifications for, in the world of Bris Milah, the Gemara discusses. There are ramifications in the world of Tiltal. So the Gemara says, the Gemara actually calls it Ke'etzim Avon. The baby in that state would be considered like an Evan, and it was Muktansha. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says, what happens if you leave an 8-month-old baby in that window on Shabbos? Will that be a bittul or not? And what does the Gemara say? Gemara says it works as a bittul. Shervoisai. Nacharaya. Nacharaya against the ritual. Nacharaya against the ritual. But what's interesting, Shervoisai, is that the Ritva himself brings up this Gemara. The Ritva himself brings up this Gemara. Now, Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, Rabbi Isai, you guys will have to analyze how the Ritva can get out of this Gemara. And hopefully that will shed light on how the Ritva can resolve and still be alive, even though the Gemara in Kama V'Kama Mekaymas seems to be mashma, that temporary placement does work as well, which seems to be a Raya Brewer like Rashi. And Amir Tzashem, we will get into Shitas HaRambam tomorrow with a few more Makaris. Rabbi Isai, I want you to write down the following Makaris. I'm not going to print out another sheet because Max is already printing out a handout. Please write this down on your Makaris sheets. Rambam in Tumas Meis, which is in Sefer Tara, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, and the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Dalid Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay, that's to be at the end.
One more time.
The Rambam in Tumas Meis, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, and the Rambam in Perek Dalid Halacha Yud Gimel. Those of you that are not up to where we got up to, Rabbi said, get cracking. Make sure you understand all the Gemaras. You have to understand all these Gemaras clearly. There are going to be more questions that we are going to have to delve into. Not only the Raya is against the Ritva, against Rashi, we're going to have to really analyze the Ritva a little more, and then Emir Tzashem, we will come back to the Meiri and come back to Shitas HaRambam and be mashlin the Sugya, Heitev, Heitev.
Rabbi Yisai, hatzlacha on all your bechinos, and I look forward to seeing you guys all cracking at 9 o'clock in the morning, very stark tomorrow. Please don't disappoint me.